You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the cause of Christ. And today we have with us Ms. Carolyn Dwyer. She has been working with churches, married to a pastor for many years, and she and her husband, Dr. Danny Dwyer, have been working with many churches. Dr. Dwyer is the administrator of our Rekindle program. And Ms. Dwyer, it is just so good to have you here with us today, my friend.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, we're not going to say how old you are or how old Dr. Dwyer is. We should probably put that age out there.
No.
Let's not do it. But you have been ministering for over half a century, right?
This is true.
This is true. And over these years, you and your husband have been such a blessing to so many churches and so many pastors and so many pastors' wives. And so we wanted to get you in and talk a little bit about how we can support a pastor's wife, and there's many pastors' wives we know that are listening in, and so we want to talk to them today as well, because that's a major component of the Rekindle program, is to support the pastor and to support his wife. So let's just start out by asking the question, why is it so hard for the wife of a pastor to be herself? Why is that such a difficult thing to do?
Well, for one thing, it depends on what age she is when she becomes the pastor's wife. Age makes a lot of difference. For instance, I was 20 when I became a pastor's wife. Actually, I didn't know my husband was planning on being a pastor. Oh. We were already married. We had two children, and prior to our two children, though, we had one, and he came home one day from work, and he said, "I have something to let y'all know." We were living with my mother at the time, and my mother and dad, and so we were standing there. Mother was looking at him, and I was standing there waiting for whatever it was he was going to say, and he said, "I feel like the Lord is calling me to preach." Well, Mother was just elated, and I was so surprised. I had no idea that he was thinking about that. So my reaction was, I ran to our room, burst into tears, and said, "This cannot be happening."
Oh, my.
But the Lord did his work in my heart, and I surrendered my life to his call upon my life. And so that's how we began. Wow. When I was 20. But there are others who have gotten married knowing that their fiancé was going to be a pastor. And so they had a little bit of insight into what they were going to do. However, having a little bit of insight does not mean that you know everything that you need to know. So it's always a learning process. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have those others who have husbands that answer the call to preach in the later years. Yes. I'd say 35, 40, 50. I just met a couple not too long ago who recently answered the call to preach or to pastor when he is 50 years old. Mm. Well, that calls for a career change.
Yes.
For both the wife and the husband, and then changes for children as well if they have them still in home, and this couple did.
Wow.
So
that has a lot to do with it. And then they're all of a sudden really put in this fishbowl situation, aren't they?
Yeah. And bear in mind that as a Christian woman, you are, as a 20-year-old or whatever, you are trying to establish some basic goals in your life of walking with God daily. That takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to learn what godliness means, not according to somebody else, but according to what the scripture tells you spiritually. Now, you learn from other people all the time, but I'm talking about personally, you with God, accepting what God has for you in His Word and being obedient unto that.
That's great.
And then, there you go, you have peer pressure.
Yes.
As a young woman, I really did. I had no idea what I should do or be other than what I saw in my pastor's wives. And so you're trying to decide, okay, do I need to be like her? Do I need to be like her? Yeah. Or, and God says, you know, I made you.
Yes, unique.
So, yes. And then you also have the expectations of lay people in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they are, what is the word I'm trying to think of? They're not reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've got a lot of high expectations. And
everybody likes to be accepted.
Yes.
Including the pastor and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So pastors' wives have different personalities. Some of them are quiet and reserved. Others are courageous, energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Others, you know, you have no idea how many personalities there are that are called to serve. And then some are critical or encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So there's room for all of us to grow.
Right.
If you are reserved, then you need to learn how to be more open with people. If you're outgoing and maybe bombastic, you might need to calm it down a little.
Yeah.
So there's a balance. If you find yourself being overly critical, you need to learn not to be that way. It is a great freedom for pastors' wives when they come to the point when the Lord reveals to him, and he did that through Philippians 1:6 with me, being confident of this one thing, that God will work in your life and he will perform that which is needed until the day of Jesus Christ. So I can always be assured that God is with me. He is helping me through all this adjustment.
Oh, that's great. And so that helps. That helps the pastor's wife
absolutely.
As she's going along and dealing with the various challenges that she faces.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the unique challenges that a pastor's wife faces.
I would say one of the main ones is open comparison between the last pastor's wife and you. And when I say open comparison, people don't mind letting you know what she did so well.
Right, and you need
and
to
make making the implication that you're not measuring up to whatever. And that's hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to measure up. You want to do perhaps things that you don't feel yourself capable of doing, but God hasn't gifted you that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those things. And then those who sow discord or are always critical and never encouraging, that's a hard thing to deal with, I think. And everybody likes to have close friends.
Yeah.
Women need that.
Mm-hmm.
We like the girl time. But as a pastor's wife, you find out that if you try to have close friends within the fellowship, then women get jealous.
It can create trouble.
It can create all kinds of problems that you don't want to have.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't have close friends. Try to pull them in from somewhere.
Yeah.
If you have a fortune enough to have a staff at your church, that can be an outlet for you with those staff wives, that you can have a buddy. Even at that, you don't want to cause discord among the staff. So don't be favorites, but try to be open to all.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I think that many have told me is when the pastor is consumed with the ministry to the neglect of family.
Mm.
That can cause all kinds of problems.
Mm.
And there are a lot of problems going on in pastors' homes now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of them. And there, I can't cover everything in mm-hmm. this little podcast.
But it's a lot.
It's a real problem. And then not having enough willing workers.
Yeah.
You know what we want to do as pastors' wives? We want to jump in there and say, well, I'll do it.
Right.
Well, you know what? We can't do everything as much as we would like to. We want the church ministry to grow smoothly because
mm-hmm.
we want everyone to appreciate our husbands.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I have taken on too much in trying to help with the ministry. But the older that I've gotten, I don't have the energy that I used to have. Even though I want to do this, I want to do that, then I have to pace myself a lot more than I would like to. But
so you're saying pace yourself. If don't try to jump in and do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying find friends if you've got staff, and you're just having to be careful not to have favorites, and maybe outside the church.
Absolutely.
Find them as well,
mm-hmm.
and try to address some of those unique challenges that the wives of pastors face.
Right. One other thing that is a problem, I'll mention this and then we can go on, but can you believe that a lot of people in the church come to the pastor's wife and ask her about why don't we do this, or does the pastor know that we should be doing that, or whatever.
Yeah.
They come to you. They should go to the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the one who runs the church. And he doesn't consider himself running the church, but he needs to be addressed in those things and you not be caught in the middle.
So sometimes what they're really doing is complaining.
Yeah.
Instead of complaining to him, they come and complain to you. And you're saying, that's tough.
I always refer them to the pastor.
There you go. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned some of the challenges, the friendship and really kind of being overwhelmed and so forth, and then people bringing stuff to you. What are things that people can do to kind of help address some of those problems in the church?
They can volunteer. I have tried to ask people that I thought were gifted in certain areas to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But it so helps if you don't have to be going to someone all the time. If they will volunteer for ministry opportunities that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is for people to be active and engaging visitors before the service and after the service. I have become very outgoing, I guess because of necessity.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am not prone to be that way. But anybody can go up to someone and say, hey, we're so glad to see you today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it doesn't take a lot to just
speak to them,
absolutely.
Make them try to help them find the nursery or whatever.
Participate in outreach opportunities, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a whole church outreach, if it's someone the pastor has asked that you visit for some reason, any kind of outreach.
And just inviting your friends and family to church.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And calls to various church members when they're not at church. Of course, we're working with a smaller church right now, but when we were in larger churches, there was no way that we could call everybody who wasn't at church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me mention this one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
If your pastor and wife have small children. Volunteer to keep those children while perhaps they need to visit somebody.
Yeah.
Or some pastors take their children with them, mm-hmm. but many do not. So volunteering to keep the children for ministry opportunities that the pastor has, or for a date night. Danny and I still have a date night every week of the world.
Oh, boy.
If he's not at the leadership conference uh-huh. or something.
Oh, no.
He's always been at the leadership conference uh-huh. on our anniversary.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm glad you told me that, so now I know.
Anyway.
Well, but really what you're saying, you help out just by being a good church member, really.
Like, yeah, and being faithful.
You're faithful. You've got a task. You know, mm-hmm. there's some kind of thing you're doing within the church, but using your gifts for the Lord.
Right.
You're trying to help people feel welcome. You're trying to reach people with the gospel, inviting people to church, mm-hmm. and then not forgetting the pastor and his wife, creating opportunities for them to have date nights and so forth, and realizing, hey, they were going on their anniversary mm-hmm. leadership conference, you know. So we're going to give them another chance, right?
Yeah. One last thing about all of that. If lay people are fortunate enough to have, they've been blessed by God, and many mm-hmm. have, to have a condo at the beach,
yes,
or a lake house, or some other something in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Most pastors I know do not have the funds to fund a family vacation.
Yeah.
If God has blessed you with things, bless other people with
absolutely
it, whether it's the items I mentioned
yeah.
or not. I believe you're blessed to be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a great thing, a great encouragement to your pastor and his wife.
Absolutely. So think about ways you can mm-hmm. bless them as mm-hmm. well, and make sure they've got some of that time
right.
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
And think about how they need to get away mm-hmm. and get away from the stress. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's a lot to do with just being a good regular part of a church.
Yeah.
Are there specific things as I'm going to church, let's say I'm a lay person, there are lay people listening, what can they do specifically for the pastor's wife to help her? Any things kind of come to your mind about that?
Yes. They come to mind as I look at my notes.
That's why we've got them. That works.
Love her.
Yeah.
And pray for her regularly. Lots of times, lay people don't know what the pastor and wife or family mm-hmm. is going through.
Right.
So, and neither do we always know what our membership or those who are just attending church are going through.
Right.
So the mutual love and prayer for one another. Be encouraging to her. The devil is going to be sure that you have enough things to be discouraged
yes.
about. So always try to be uplifting and be a shoulder to cry on if she needs to cry.
Mm-hmm.
When her family has hard times, which we have been through, and our church was absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had hard times other than just being in a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Be there for them.
Yes.
Encouraging notes. Give her something that you would like to receive. For me, it's chocolate-covered strawberries.
Oh, boy.
If you want to bless my day.
Listeners, pay attention. We'll give the address later.
Yeah. She does get lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So reach out to her.
That's good.
Anyway, those are just a few thoughts.
Well, those are good.
There's so many more.
They're good thoughts, but you alluded to it. You never know what kinds of problems are in mm-hmm. the congregation. And so the pastor and the pastor's wife are dealing with things that most people don't know mm-hmm. anything about. And then you also mentioned you all need to be ministered to as well. And just like the pastor and his wife minister to people after a loss mm-hmm. or tragic mm-hmm. situation, please don't forget your pastor's wife and your pastor during those times and help them remember they're thought of. That's powerful. That's really helpful to us, Ms. Dwyer.
I really hope this doesn't come across as being selfish. Mm-hmm. That's not the intention.
No.
Of this podcast, but I've been myself,
mm-hmm.
so I hope it'll be used of God.
I think it will, and we want to thank you for what you've done and are doing, and we want to thank you for taking the time to do this, and we encourage all our listeners to take what they've heard. Mm-hmm. It's just a little snippet of trying to give folks a picture into the pastor's wife, what they can do to help, and oh, there's so much, and if you help your pastor's wife, you're helping your pastor, and by the way, you're helping yourself
yes,
and your church,
absolutely.
So we encourage our folks to do that. Thank you for joining us today, my friend.
You're quite welcome.
And we want to thank you all that are listening. Thank you for joining us, and please take some time to do something special if you're a layperson for your own pastor and for his wife, and take some time, if you will, to share this podcast. Like it if you're on social media. Share it with someone that could benefit, and remember, every little thing we do helps out to propel the cause of Christ, and that we truly are better together.